the co-founder of the People's Coalition for Civil Action and the former governor of Northern Bahr al-Ghazal state, Quel Aguer Quel, escaped from Juba this evening. Quel was arrested in 2021 after he was accused of calling for a change in the government of South Sudan through a popular uprising. He was released in December 2022 after a special court dismissed all the treason charges against him. Authorities in Juba since then prevented him from leaving the country. Members of the People's Coalition for Civic Action say Quel managed to escape from Juba this evening to Nairobi. We now go live to Quel Aguer Quel to tell us how he left Juba and why he's in Nairobi. Quel, welcome to this show.
Thank you very much. First of all, let me correct one thing. I have not escaped because I cannot run away from South Sudan. I left Juba today using my travel document because the passport has been taken and has not been given back to me. So I use what they call travel document, which is a document that can be issued for one trip and you cannot use it twice.
So you left Juba in the presence of the authorities. You did not sneak or correct me?
No, I left through the airport. I left through the airport. My document was stamped, and then I bought the plane and I came. And that is one thing I want to correct.
Yeah, talk to me about your previous attempts to go for medical checkup, because it's an open secret that you were not feeling well. You wanted to go to Khartoum, you wanted to go to Egypt, you wanted to go to Nairobi, and you were not allowed to do so. What happened this time?
Of course, when I was released, I was refer to India to take medication, and that is why I attempted on the 9th of April 2022 to 2023 to go for medical. And at the airport, I was stopped, and my passport was taken, and the passport is still being detained by the National Security up to today. And I haven't been able to get it. I was told about 2 or 3 months ago that I have been cleared. But I asked for my passport and nobody gave it to me. So this is what I have been struggling to know, that who is keeping my passport, why they are keeping it if I'm been cleared. And when this issue of negotiations here in Nairobi came up, I went again and looked for traveling documents through the migration office. And I was given, I came to the airport and I came to Nairobi specifically for this. But for my medical, I was denied and nobody has given me my passport, and therefore I cannot travel to areas like Egypt or any other place besides Nairobi. This is my first to come after 3 years. Going into South Sudan, I have not left for almost 3 years.
We have been monitoring.
3 years and 4 months.
Yeah, we have been monitoring your situation in South Sudan. You were picked from a petrol station, arrested, and kept in a place that we don't know. Could you tell us your experience where you were kept until you were produced to court? What happened to you? Were you treated well? Were you tortured?
I was not touched, but the fact that I was kidnapped is true, because I was arrested without a warrant of arrest. And then I was taken to national security without any investigation for 11 days. And then when the pressure became too much, I was delivered to CID, the Criminal Investigation Department. And they took me straight to national prison. And after 4 days from that time, I was investigated by an investigator. And then they kept me for another 15 months before I was produced to the court. And then the trial took 2 months because the government had too many witnesses, including technical personnel from Sudan, where my computer, my telephone, everything of mine was taken. And then all that information was presented in the court. And then I was given about 5 hours to respond to 2 months accusation. And after that, the court would, the court closed the discussion, and then they went and weighed all the allegations that were put on me and my response, and they discovered that I don't have any question, I don't have any charges to answer. So they acquitted me without without any charges. And then when I tried to go out, I was prevented. I didn't know why I was prevented, because I was acquitted by court. So that is what actually happened.
And when when the authorities at the airport stopped you from proceeding to where you wanted to go and seek medical attention, did you go back to the courts to put a case against them?
I didn't go back to the court, because for you to go back to the court in South Sudan, you have to go through certain procedures. First of all, as a human rights violation, I have to go to Human Rights Commission, who took something like 4 months without response. And then again, I went and wrote a petition through the Minister of Cabinet Affairs to the President to look into the case, which has not been answered up to now. And the response was that I'm now acquitted, I'm not released, and I can go. And when I asked about my passport, they didn't give me. So I could not go to next step, because if they were to stop me today, then I would have said, okay, if this is the case, let us go back and see why am I being stopped from traveling. Because it is a violation of the Constitution, Article 27.2, allow the citizen to go out and return to the country without being questioned. And this is part of fundamental and liberty rights in the Constitution. So this is really a violation of Constitution.
Well, you are in Nairobi right now, and you are telling me that you are coming to Nairobi to attend the talks between the government of South Sudan and the holdout rebel groups. Is that correct?
Yes.
And after the talks, what are your plans? Are you going back, or you will remain in Kenya?
I will definitely go back, probably within a few weeks or a few days.
And describe to us the situation in South Sudan. We are getting reports from different groups. If you speak to the government, they will say, yes, the economic situation is very harsh, but we are working towards resolving it. If you speak to the common man, they will say the situation is out of hand. Even there are people who are saying they're already starving. Tell me your version of this story.
Yeah, it is true that the economy has actually crashed. And as we speak, the value of our money is only 20% of value, because the deterioration that took place as a result of the closure of the oil and many other things that happened for bad management of economy has led to inflation, and that has actually made the value of the money to deteriorate. People are really hungry, because you cannot imagine that a government employee stay for 7-8 months without salary, and you expect them to survive. Even the attempt that is made by the government, that they are bringing food, essential food items to the market. The food can be there, but if you don't have something to purchase it with, then what will be the use of that essential commodity? Has? They should have bring commodities and pay salary so that people can use salary to buy the cheap commodities. But even if the commodities are there and they are not free, they are not relieved, then people will not access it. So people are really hungry. Not only hungry, but they are thirsty, because there is no water in town. A bottle of water is even more than $1, which is something like 2,800. So actually the situation is dire. It is really very difficult for a common person to survive. So the issue that this will be addressed, I don't think it will be addressed. Because even the Minister of Finance was telling the Parliament that they are not sure when are they going to be paying salaries. It is not a question of a common man. The Minister of Finance himself confessed that he doesn't know what will be time that will be possible for him to pay any salary to any civil servant.
Yeah, and the common men. Yeah, Governor Quayle, the common men and women are looking up to people like you, activists, who can hold the powers to account. And if there are no people who can hold the powers to account, then what do you think is the solution?
We have been trying, the People Coalition for Civil Action have been trying to talk to the government, because our warning 2001 that this situation is going to be dire and people should take measures, it was not listened to. Instead, we were being prosecuted for being against the government. But we were like watchdog. When you see something that is coming, then you have to warn that something dangerous is coming. But people did not listen. And also, when you stay like a mirror and you show something wrong in the face of somebody, somebody cannot break the mirror. What they do is to go and clean what they have in their face. But that was not the case. We were being targeted because we have said the situation that was going to happen, and now it is happening. And there is nothing they can do about it. All of them, they cannot do anything about it. It is out of hand, and everybody in South Sudan is leaving things to God. That is the only hope that people of South Sudan have, and not any other person to address these issues.
A final question here. I know that your colleagues within the PCCA have been attending these talks in Nairobi, and they have been participating and presenting their views on issues that are very close to the hearts of the South Sudanese. Are you coming with new proposals, new ways, new avenues to save the country from what you are calling their situation?
Our position is that we would like anybody who happen to be leading the country to do right thing. We are only looking for people to do right thing. And that is why we are here. We are here to warn the parties that whatever agreement you are going to sign, unless there is a political will, unless there is a commitment, unless there is a national spirit to change, this agreement will not address anything. And this is the point you want to make in this agreement. And if people don't listen, like usual, that they don't listen to us, they will see the consequences of it. Because things will go worse than the situation now. There are other natural disasters that are coming, like floods and rainy season and all this, and it will actually implicate life of people. Unless we become peaceful, we become friendly to international communities so that they can actually come in and help us, help the poor people in the rural areas, those who are not working in the government, and probably help us to be able to access some grants, to be able to rescue the economic situation in the country. Otherwise, things will go out of hand.